hell?
Everybody get up! Everybody get up! Everybody needs to understand that I'm more than simply a hype man for this rap group. Just like GEICO is more than just a company that can save you money. GEICO also has fast and friendly claim service, so they can help you when you need it most. And while I do love being a hype man, I also love reading for children's audiobooks. Like Little Bo Peep, she lost a sheep, and she don't know where to find them. Go!
GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Welcome back to the Shazam Sun Show podcast. I'm Matt Baker, and joining me, as always, is Aaron Thuringer.
Live from Arcadia, it's Tuesday night.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Hey,
Arcadia, Aaron. Arizona. There's like Arcadia, California, too. You're the California one. I'm the Arizona one.
Yes, I am, but I have some good news for you, Aaron.
Ooh, lay it on me.
No matter where you live, you can take advantage of Handy.com. Handy.com and the Handy app is a leading platform for connecting individuals looking for household services with top-quality, pre-screened, independent service professionals. From home cleaning to handyman services, Handy instantly matches thousands of customers every week with trusted professionals in cities all around the world. That is Arcadia, Arizona and Arcadia, California. With a seamless 60-second... What?
That's good to know. I'm glad it's in both Arcadias. You know, Matt, I'm having a party in 2 weeks and my sink's clogged up and I have no idea what to do. I might have try Handy.
With a seamless 60-second booking process, secure payment, and 100% money-back guarantee, Handy is the easiest, most convenient way to book home services. Aaron, here's what you do, okay?
Okay.
Step one, select the date and time you'd like your professional to show up. Step two, they'll confirm your appointment and take care of payment electronically and securely. Step three, download the app to access booking management tools and more. And step four, an experienced, fully equipped professional will show up on time at your doorstep. So what you do is you, for 50% off cleaning services, use the promo code ALMIGHTY50. That's ALMIGHTY50 for 50% off cleaning services, the Handy app at handy.com.
You know, I can't throw this party with a clogged sink, so... Handy.com. I might navigate to there after our show tonight.
You're gonna have to do it now, Aaron. I've spent. I hope my voice sounds okay. I've spent most of the past 5 days pretty sick. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie Trainspotting. I've
heard of it
like 20 years ago or so. Well, there's a scene in it where Ewan McGregor, they lock him in a room to get him to kick heroin, and he just ends up like sweating and yelling for like 30 minutes in the movie. That was basically me every night for the past 3 nights.
We talking flu-like symptoms?
Yeah, something like that. So I hope I sound good enough to give the people what they deserve.
But yeah, this could be your flu podcast.
That's true. This one, the one that pushes us into greatness. Now we had decided on this topic pretty much today because I asked you if Eric Bledsoe is a top 5 point guard in Suns history. So we instead of talk about it amongst ourselves, we figured we would talk it out on the podcast. So
and we know who the top 3 are. That's pretty clear and obvious. But for a novice Suns fan, it's Kevin Johnson, Steve Nash, Jason Kidd, in no particular order.
Right? Yeah, I mean, I guess you would probably say Steve Nash is number one.
I don't know. I mean, I guess he could. I know I wouldn't say Brandon Knight is number one.
Yeah. Well, Nash won two MVPs, so.
That is true.
There's that. But so yeah, let's talk. Let's figure out. Now, I don't think we'll come to the conclusion that Bledsoe is a top five point guard in Suns history, but who knows? Let's see. Let's talk out who the other two are. I have some names here. Do you want to start off with the list of names, or should we go one by one?
How about you offer up one, I offer up one, till we exhaust our lists?
Okay.
And there'll be overlap, obviously, so.
Right. So here's the first rule I say we put on it is they have to be listed as a point guard in basketballreference.com. Okay.
Okay, I have a question already though. What if they're listed as a point guard on Basketball Reference for some seasons and a shooting guard for other seasons?
That's fine.
Okay,
They don't
all
have
right, well
they
then.
just as long as they're a point guard.
Okay, well,
Okay.
do you mind if I start on that topic right now then?
Go for it.
Because one of the reasons I bring up the point guard shooting guard thing is because Paul Westfall has a little has some point guard listings on Basketball Reference, particularly in the Suns NBA Finals year in 1976. And I never really thought of Paul Westfall as a point guard. In fact, I was watching some YouTube highlight videos of the classic triple overtime game five of the 76 Finals against the Celtics.
Yeah.
And it looked to me like Dick Van Arsdale was that point guard and Paul Westfall was the shooting guard. But let
Okay.
me side note you for a second. Paul Westfall made some insane shots in that game. And as an added bonus that has nothing to do with this conversation, when the fans thought the game was over after the second overtime, one of the fans got into a fight with the referee on the court. You don't see
Really?
that too often.
Oh man.
But do we, Westfall, point guard? Yay or nay? Just let's first right now consider him a point guard, a potential point guard for this debate. I'm fine with saying nay on it.
I think he should be in there. I think he Basketball Reference has him listed in, as 2 seasons as point guard for the Suns. So I'm fine with it.
He was traded
I
for a
think
point guard. They traded him for Dennis Johnson, I believe.
Yeah, I think Paul Westfall, people probably don't think of him as being as good as he was. Now he didn't he had he played what is that, 12 seasons, and the like everyone, the prime of his career he was his best, but he did average 25 points in a season. And each year he was with Phoenix, he averaged over 20 points, which
In
is pretty.
the era before the 3-point line,
Right.
and really acrobatic, really made some good shots, some tough shots. And I'm not going entirely off this highlight package I watched on game five, but I would like to point out a few things in it because he was insane in this highlight package. And he was making ridiculous fade away, falling down bank shots. But in addition, he had some monster steals in this game. He was he was an all-around player. I know that the level of defense we associate with NBA players today didn't exist in the mid-70s, nor did the level of athleticism. But for his time and in his era, he was probably the most iconic Sun on the most iconic Suns team until the 90s.
Yeah, just a little comparison for you about how he played in the pre-3-point era. One of his seasons in Phoenix, he averaged 10 field goals made per game, right?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not comparing him. I'm trying to just compare numbers. Steph Curry 2 seasons ago, when he averaged 30 points, he also averaged 10 field goals made per game. So Westfall was, I'm not saying he was Curry-like. I'm just saying that,
He could have gotten to 30, perhaps, in a 3-point era.
right. He made enough shots that it he to only in theory, score 25, it could have been much more. It
That's a good point.
so yeah,
Well, let me ask you
Westfall,
this
he.
question about Westfall. Would, because I think if you went by today, like Bledsoe today is better than 1976 Paul Westfall, probably, right? Just because of how the NBA has evolved. So, but how much weight do we put into importance for their eras? Because Bledsoe is a small fraction of importance to the Suns, this current Suns team in Phoenix, as Paul Westfall was in the 70s.
Well, I think when it comes to the top players, I think it, well, I mean, yeah, it doesn't matter if it's basically, I think impact to the team matters a lot.
Yeah, I agree with
Right?
you. In fact, I think that if we are going to consider West, if we're going to include him as a point guard, then I think it's a no-brainer. Westfall is probably number four on the list.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. That's quick out of the gate here.
Quick out of the gate. Let's
Okay.
just end the
Yeah. Just
podcast.
make Westfall number four and number five.
Let's do it.
Okay,
Or
well.
number four, or number four. That was his number.
Oh, good point. All right, so then, well, let's move on to Dennis Johnson then, who Westfall was traded for. DJ came in and he was pretty beloved. I feel like Dennis Johnson was pretty beloved wherever he went. Didn't Larry Bird say he was the best teammate he ever had?
That sounds familiar. I can't confirm or deny. Wouldn't surprise me.
Maybe he said that, but also that maybe Larry Bird just likes saying it because he thought it would make Dennis Johnson feel good, and then secretly he would
Well, I
cuss Dennis
imagine
Johnson out.
an unselfish point guard that tried really hard and played really good defense in the 80s was more of a novelty than it is today. I could
Yeah.
see why people love Dennis Johnson because of that.
Yeah. So DJ played three seasons in Phoenix. He made the All-Star game twice. His stats weren't overwhelming. He didn't average 20 points any of the games, but
Which he wasn't a scorer.
he did meet my parents in a pharmacy once, so
Oh.
that probably gives him extra bonus points.
Was Mike Diminsky in that pharmacy too?
Yeah.
If
It
you're a
all
new
comes back.
listener, that's a callback joke to two podcasts ago. So go back and listen.
Yeah. Now this is early 80s Phoenix was kind of the forgotten years of Phoenix Suns basketball, right? Because that's when it was pre-Hornacek, Chambers, and KJ, and it was kind of during the time when they were kind of riddled with drug use, right?
Yeah, they were like South Beach levels of cocaine floating around the franchise that time. I mean, they had some loaded teams. They had Dennis Johnson, Walter Davis, Alvin Adams, who and Larry Nance. Alvin Adams, by the way, watching this highlight reel, that guy was good. He was getting rebounds and leading fast breaks, just like handling like a guard. Like what 6'9", 6'10" player was doing that in the 70s?
Right.
But those
Yeah,
teams were good,
they
for
actually
sure.
one of the years they finished first in the Pacific Division with 57 wins. So yeah, it's interesting. I don't want to bring the tone down, but it's interesting to remember that the Suns have all up until recently, they were always good.
They were,
They
you're
were
right.
they
I mean, it'd be bad for 2 or 3 years and they would have rebuilt their team.
Yeah, so this whole thing about not making the playoffs for 7 years is really new to it's a territory the franchise has never been in.
Well, and
But
after the 2010 season, the fourth winningest NBA franchise of all time. I believe I'm remembering that correctly.
Right. So, yeah.
You know, I would say Dennis Johnson, I mean, he's in the Hall of Fame, and I don't think Kevin Johnson is. So by that criteria, he's better than Kevin Johnson, but not for this criteria, obviously. I wouldn't. So you can make a case for him to go above Paul Westphal, but I wouldn't place him above Paul Westphal.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it. I think DJ playing on Boston helped him in the Hall of Fame talk a lot. I think if he stayed on Phoenix, he might not have been in the Hall of Fame.
I mean, there's no way. 100% correct.
That's pure speculation too. But
I think you're totally right on that though.
Yeah. I think it's fair that KJ. I think KJ has meant more to the Suns. Obviously, he was on the Suns longer. He was there in their NBA Finals run. So yeah, I think it's perfectly valid to put a non Hall of Famer above a Hall of Famer in this talk.
So can I offer up a sentimental favorite of my own to be in this top five list?
Please tell me it's Kyle Macy.
It is not Kyle Macy. It is my randomly favorite Suns player of all time, Stephon Marbury.
Okay, this is kind of the guy we were talking about that got this conversation going, I think, basically.
Yes.
So,
not a lot of longevity. 2 years? 3 years. 3 years.
Yeah,
in
two
Phoenix.
And a half.
Two and a half, you're right.
Yeah.
He was one of, in the mold of those late 90s, early 2000s, ISO-heavy, wannabe Jordan point guards in kind of a down era in NBA history. I actually don't think he is a top five Suns point guard. I happened to really enjoy him when I was 16 years old watching Suns games. I will say that he, well, maybe not true with Bledsoe, the strongest Suns point guard ever.
I loved Stephon Marbury, so you're gonna get no quarrel from me. Yeah.
Let's just put him number one. Why not?
Yeah.
I mean, he did hit an epic shot to beat the Spurs in a playoff game.
I remember watching that game. What if we just changed the podcast name from Shazam to Starbury? What do you think about
maybe
that?
Maybe like a season two move right there?
Yeah.
For all those years that Tony Parker abused Suns teams, Marbury abused him in that playoff series. Now, Parker was like 18 at the time, but I remember Tony Parker was just helpless guarding him. And in fact, that was one of the reasons the Suns took them to six games, even though they were the one seed, because no one on that team could guard Marbury.
Yeah, he was perfect because I don't know if the league had quite figured out street ball yet.
Yeah.
So he was able to use those physical tools just to kind of impose his will on people. He also had that classic kind of crying face when Amari had that dunk. That like faux crying, like I can't believe I just saw that face.
Marbury was great. You know, the Suns have been dying for someone with his level of like just charisma and on-court personality. Not necessarily his talent level, but that guy was an attraction for sure.
Oh yeah, it helped. It kind of helped having him there too, because that was threatening to be a dead period in Phoenix. Because they just got rid of Kidd, obviously, because they got rid of Kidd from Marbury. But Marion wasn't quite Sean Marion yet, and no one knew what to expect from Amari, so he kept the franchise afloat from a personality standpoint. And maybe you can give him a few extra points, because if it wasn't for trading him to New York, they wouldn't have gotten Nash. So,
Definitely.
I don't
I
know. I
went
don't know.
to, sorry to interrupt you. I went to a Suns playoff game that year in 2002, and they were giving out these shirts that had Nash, Amari, and Marion on them, and it just said the future. And I thought it was the coolest shirt. And of course, the shirt was irrelevant like 6 months later. But
Wait,
there was a
Mar
time when people thought that the Suns were just going to run with Marbury, Amari, and Marion, and that was going to be the squad.
Right. They also had Anfernee Hardaway though at that point too, so.
And Casey Jacobson, right?
Oh man. It's making me remember the good times. So
Good old
do you
days.
think that's enough to put him like do you think his impact to Phoenix was bigger than Dennis Johnson's impact, basically.
I'd have to say no, because Dennis Johnson was on some really good teams that just couldn't get past the Showtime Lakers.
Right.
Marbury had two losing seasons and one eight seed.
Okay.
And I don't get me wrong, I got incredibly nostalgic talking about Marbury just now, and I'm going to definitely binge watch Marbury highlights on YouTube after this podcast, but I can't put him over Dennis Johnson.
Okay. Aaron, I got one for you
Ooh.
that it he's listed as a shooting guard every other season except for the two he played in Phoenix where he's listed as a point guard, Gail Goodrich.
Oh, wow.
I
Gail
bet you didn't see
Goodrich.
that coming.
I did not see this coming. I am not even prepared to have a Gail Goodrich conversation, to be
I know,
honest.
I thought I would hit you with that. It he
They got him
played
from the Lakers, right? Or do they trade him to the Lakers after?
both. So he started
Don't know why that's so funny to me.
he started in the late with the Lakers, and then the Suns took him in the expansion draft, and then they traded him back to the Lakers 2 years later for something called Mel Counts.
I think that was a big man.
Okay, I'll take your word on that.
I can't put Gale on there because Van Arsdale was the point guard of those teams.
Okay. He took he did go to one All-Star game, and
As a son? Sorry, I'm
he
clearly just
averaged.
not prepared. I apologize to talk about Gale Goodrich right now.
It's all right. Maybe I should have told you I was going to hit you with the Gail Goodrich, but
No, I think this is organic.
he averaged 23 points per game and then 20 points per game, in the pre-3-point era. He actually didn't play at all when there was a 3-point line, which is interesting.
I will say he's one of the few people on the classic 72 Lakers team in 2K that can shoot threes. It's him and Jerry West, and that's it.
Yeah, he actually that year was statistically his best year in the NBA. Again, it's early Phoenix Suns, so he wasn't around when they went to the finals. And Gail Goodrich, he's another one of these Hall of Famers, but his impact on the Suns, it just might not be there compared to Westfall or even Dennis Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't put him over like even Marbury.
Wow.
Oh man, I did some Dick Van Arsdale research real quickly, and he is only listed as a shooting guard in Basketball Reference. So every Dick Van Arsdale thing I said has to be removed from the podcast, I think. So I guess I always thought he was a point guard on those old Suns teams, but it didn't look like he was. I mean, he never
Maybe.
averaged more than four assists per game.
Yeah, he hey, you know what? I guess maybe they played a multiple point guard system and he was just shooting guard by default. But
Well, the next guy I was going to nominate was Van Arsdale, but due to the shocking revelation, I think I'm going to have to go. We already mentioned him, Kyle Macy on you.
okay.
Macy, who is the guy that the Suns thought they could trade Dennis Johnson because they wanted to let Macy run the point.
Okay.
And I think he's the Suns' all-time leader in free throw shooting percentage.
Okay.
And that's the end of his list. He's not a top 5 point guard on the Suns.
You just wanted to put him out there just because you wanted to reference Kyle Macy?
I did, yes. And it was either that or try to push Elliot Perry on you.
Oh, I'd listen to that for sure.
If you want to talk
Okay.
about fun point guards of all time or most beloved, you could put Perry on that list, most likely.
Absolutely. What about Goran Dragic, Aaron?
That
I think
is a good one.
he ha has a legitimate he has a legitimate in into this conversation just purely based on what he did to San Antonio in that one playoff game
Yep, I agree.
in 2010, right?
2010, I forget how many points it was in the fourth quarter, but that was one of the more amazing things I've ever seen in my sports watching life.
Yeah, it was, you watch this kid his second year in the league single-handedly expel all the demons from the San Antonio rivalry in one quarter. Now, granted, it didn't bring back any of those potential lost championships, but it for one night, you got to see a young kid give it to San Antonio like no one had in the past
And
decade.
you're right about that. And he was really good when he came back after they inexplicably traded him to Houston,
For Aaron Brooks.
which is one of the worst trades in Suns history if they don't re-sign Goran Dragic a year later.
Yeah. They not only was he trade he was traded with a first round draft pick to the Rockets for Aaron Brooks.
Oh my goodness.
I
That was
know,
the
it's
Lance
super
Blanks
weird.
era.
Yeah, that's true. So yeah, he's another one of these guys that the numbers aren't staggering, but he did, until he fell out of favor, he did re-energize the fan base. That what
It's kind
when
of like the
he when he
Marbury thing, right? He was a personality. I mean, his teams were better. But he was a personality. He was something that he had an attraction to him that the fans crave that, Devin Booker is kind of getting, but,
Yeah.
Bledsoe does not have that at all. No one buys tickets to watch Eric Bledsoe play. They would buy tickets to watch Goran Dragic play.
Well, I think, and the thing that Goran had working for him is everyone knew that it was kind of garbage the way that they traded him. So the fact that he re-signed, they re-signed him, it was kind of like a homecoming everyone could get behind. Not necessarily a prodigal son situation, because Goran didn't leave of his own doing, but he just it was kind of like a temporary righting of a wrong. So I think people really enjoyed seeing that. At least I know I did.
I did too. I was happy he came back. I remember a story from my time as Lance Blanks wanted Raymond Felton
Oh yeah.
because he was a terrible GM, and Sarver basically put his foot down and said, "We're signing Goran Dragic," and kind of did the deal himself, which give credit to Sarver, one of the few good things he's done. I would put Goran above Bledsoe on this
Okay.
list as well.
Just
And I sound like a Bledsoe hater, but I'm also weighing personality and connection with fan base into this list, and Bledsoe doesn't have that at all. And no fault of his own, he's not that type of player. That's fine, but that's how I'm kind of formulating my list.
it th that's totally fair. Bledsoe's been in Phoenix. This is his fourth season, and he I don't know. Do you think there wouldn't be like a mass panic if he got traded tomorrow? He
I
just doesn't have that
yeah.
connection.
No,
Now,
I agree. I mean, he's been fantastic. I don't want to take anything away from him, but there's just no connection. I would riot in the streets if Booker got traded, but there's no real connection with Bledsoe.
with that being said, he is a season away from the Suns being good and him and Booker being a great duo from having that connection, but it's just not there right now.
Yeah, it's just not there right now. So maybe if we revisit this in 2 years, it's changed. If he enters his prime and he has a year like this next year and the Suns are better, and a year like this in 2 years and the Suns are a playoff contender, then yeah, we can reevaluate the list. But my five is pretty firmly set right now. I don't know about yours, Baker.
So you're saying it's Nash, KJ, Jason Kidd, Paul Westphal, and Goran.
I think I would have to put Dennis Johnson as the fifth. Just based on his career, I guess that's outside of the Suns, but he was a Hall of Famer and he was on some really good Suns teams. I'm not particularly ranking Nash, Johnson, or Kidd in any particular order right now. I feel like that's a whole different podcast.
So you're saying Westfall and DJ are the last two?
That's who I would say are four and five on my list. How about you?
Yeah, no, I think that's totally fair. Do you want to just throw in Leandro Barbosa just because he's super fun?
I most love it. I put him in the Elliot Perry category of most beloved. When he comes into games for the Suns right now, I don't even. Like I get upset Ulis doesn't play that much, or I get upset when they don't play the young guys and they play the veterans and still lose these games. But I never get upset seeing Blur in the game doing Blur things because he's just the best. He's the best.
And he was so great off the bench in those on those Nash teams, 'cause he could step right in and where he wasn't Nash, but he was fast, so he was kind of he didn't he allowed them not to let up.
True. Also, but also not a really a point guard.
Yeah, that's fair. That's true. I set the rules. I have to be beholden to them.
Beholden to the rules. Czech basketball reference.
Westfall, by the way, Westfall stopped playing in the NBA before either of us were born, which is super weird. But
Well,
I would like to ask someone who watched the Suns a lot then if Westfall had like a following, because I think he was pretty loved, but I wonder
he's in the Ring
what it
of
was
Honor.
like.
I think they put people in the Ring of Honor because of their civic value as much as how good they were. So I think he would have to be in it. He'd have to have been loved to make the Ring of Honor.
Yeah, that's fair. Maybe he was just loved as a coach.
That's a good point.
Because he
Coach
said
Westfall.
that when they were down 2-0 to the Lakers, that we're gonna win tomorrow night, and then we're gonna go to LA and win, and then we're gonna come back here and win, or whatever he said.
The guarantee. Do you think he was in the Ring of Honor before he was a coach, or was that after?
I could look it up, but I don't even know when the Ring of Honor started. I would imagine that the Ring of Honor started once they got to America West, right? No, actually. Alvin Adams had his jersey retired in 88. And Westfall had his jersey retired in 1989.
There you go. So it was
So,
retired before A guarantee.
Yeah. But maybe they just gave it a more prominent position after the guarantee.
Like we're gonna put this at center court now.
Exactly.
Like when you get in the Ring of Honor, you go in like one of the corners, and then you slowly make your way to the center of the court. I like that.
That's how they threatened Barkley to start playing nice with the Suns, as they told him that they were going to put it like in the basement and then slowly just work its way up. But I'm okay with Westfall and DJ as the next two. DJ didn't have his jersey retired, but I don't think that matters
That's
because
true. I don't think there's not a fifth point guard that has had his jersey retired on the Suns, though. Correct.
right, it's Westfall, Nash, and KJ. So
Oh, yeah, that's right. Kidd doesn't have his retire. He never will, even though he was, I mean, elite when he was here for obviously obvious other reasons. Hey, Matt,
yes.
you want to play a game?
Oh man, that's the way it always starts in Saw before people start getting limbs cut off and stuff.
Really, I
So
was thinking
yes.
more of a war games type. Do you want to play a game?
Yeah, oh yeah,
That's
that one.
how that goes, right?
I'll be your Matthew Broderick.
Perfect.
Okay.
So this is called hypothetical game, if I can pronounce it correctly.
Okay.
It is a game where I give you hypotheticals that range from ridiculous to really hard to answer, where the end goal is to get you to just go, gosh, I don't know. And the subject of this podcast's first ever hypothetical game is Devin Booker trades. I'm going to attempt to see which of these possible trade scenarios would get you to part with the golden boy Devin Booker. You
Oh,
ready?
wow. Okay.
So I'm going to give you a warm up. This is just a warm up to get your juices flowing. So, three-way deal. Devin Booker goes to Detroit. Washington gets Tobias Harris, and the Suns get Marcus and Markieff Morris.
No.
Yes, that was a warm up. Okay, now
What?
I was getting your
Is
blood
that,
flowing. That's how the game works.
yeah,
We're gonna get it. That was a great. I love that response from you. All
is
right,
that
let's
you,
start for
is that your
real.
way of just testing my sanity?
Testing your sanity. I was kind of just like doing a light jog before you're getting ready to sprint or something, or doing some stretching before you're starting your calisthenics. So now you're
Okay.
going. Your heart's racing.
Yeah, it
All right.
is.
Pat Riley's on the phone. He would
Oh,
like to
wow.
make Devin Booker the next star of South Beach. And to do this, he is going to offer you this package. He will give you, for Devin Booker, he will give you Justice Winslow and a pick swap of their 2017 unprotected first this year for the top eight 2018 protected Heat pick the Suns currently have. So you're getting a
Oh,
better
wow.
draft pick in Justice Winslow for Devin Booker.
And I still get to keep my draft pick of this year?
You keep your draft pick this year, you get the Heat's draft pick this year, and you get Justice Winslow. But you lose the Heat's draft pick next year.
I
Right
don't
there, that's the
know.
whole goal of the hypothetical game, to get you to go, because you can't make a
Yeah.
decision.
No, I don't think I would do it, even though it sounds pretty enticing.
Well,
But
Riley counters with Dion Waiters.
no, that's a nothing in my book.
Riles is already hung up. He's somewhere else in South Beach now. But
Okay.
Brian Colangelo is on the phone,
Okay.
and they'd like to reverse the process. And
Oh, wow.
so what they're proposing is they will give you their unprotected first round pick this year and Nerlens Noel for Devin Booker but they will also eat Brandon Knight's contract.
Oh wow. I see what you're doing here. It so basically Devin Booker for the possibility to maybe have the first two picks in the draft and Nerlens Noel.
Who I believe is a restricted free agent after the year. But yes, the possibility of two high picks on a loaded draft and getting rid of Brandon Knight's contract.
I mean, that's another good one. It what if you get the first two picks and you're not going to take two point guards, right?
You take Josh Jackson and the point guard of your choice.
Man, I don't know. It's tough because having Booker become this knock like this. Dead-eye knockdown shooter is just so huge. Like you.
I don't know if it's, I don't know. You're basically hoping that those picks become as good as Devin Booker.
Right.
So I don't
Yeah,
know if
I
I do
think.
that one, but this is your hypothetical game, not mine.
I don't think I would do it either.
All right, that's fine because that line is that the light's blinking on your phone. There's another person on the line, and
Okay.
this is Utah.
Oh,
And
wow.
Utah is getting really concerned about their ability to re-sign Gordon Hayward, and they'd
Okay.
like to know if you'd let Gordon Hayward and Dante Exum straight up for Devin Booker.
Huh. See, I don't think McDonough would do that.
But what would you do?
Me, I See, I don't think I would because you it's very possible that whatever Gordon Hayward signs for, Booker will sign for, if not more, in a few years. But you still have Booker at a pretty incredible salary for 2 years after this. So
Correct. You'd have to be, well, correct, because I agree with you. You'd have to assume that Booker is going, you'd have to make this trade, you'd have to assume that Hayward is going to be better than Booker will ever be, and I don't believe that.
I mean, you have Booker next year for 2.3 million and the year after that for 3.3 million. So that's, yeah, it's whatever he signs for after, you can't worry about it. It's just too good right now.
Dante Exum sweetener doing nothing for you?
Yeah, that poor guy, it's not doing anything for me.
Well, hang up the phone because the Clippers are online too now.
Oh, wow. Well, that was my lucky
And
day.
they're blowing up the team. They can never beat Golden State. They've already traded Chris Paul. They've already traded DeAndre Jordan. And they want to know if you would take Blake Griffin for Devin Booker.
Huh. It's
Think Blake's
Blake.
like 27 now, 28.
In this world, I would have to rearrange some pieces because don't get me wrong, I like Blake, but then that I don't it I feel like I'm gonna say no to all of these just because I love Booker and I love the idea of having this killer shooter on a team.
Oh, trust me, I'll get you to say yes to one of these. These are
Okay.
tiered to get harder and harder to deal with.
Okay, go. Lay
It's
it
like
on
boss
me.
battles. Right, so let's move on. You said no to the Clippers. I don't blame you for
Okay.
that, even though Blake would bring a superstar to Phoenix and energize the fan base. I would rather let Booker get there myself. So I'm with you. But guess what? John Paxton and Gar Foreman are conference calling you in because they want to offer you Jimmy Butler for Devin Booker. But they're not comfortable making that trade straight up because they don't really know what they're doing. So they have demanded that you include Miami's 2008 first round pick, top 8 protected next year. So that pick from Miami, you have to include in this to get Jimmy Butler.
No, I'm not doing, I'm not, no, I.
I you think, know that I think, faster than some of the other ones that I thought were less difficult to decide.
Yeah.
All right, well, don't worry because Danny Ainge is Skyping you right now.
Oh, wow.
And Danny Ainge is deciding, you know what? I will give up the mythical Brooklyn pick, 2017 unprotected, and I'll give you Jaylen Brown for Devin Booker and PJ Tucker.
See, the more I think about this year's draft, the like, and it's a bummer because the Suns are bad. Like, the less I actually care about them getting number one because of all the point guards at the top. So I'm not as concerned about having the number one pick. Does that make
sense?
So
you're going to deny the mythical Brooklyn pick, which is fine. I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm just, there you go. You're going to deny that pick and the upside of Jaylen Brown.
Oh man, these are getting tougher. You're right. I'll just say no because I'm interested to see if anyone is calling next.
All right, you have one final call before things get a little interesting here. Okay. This is from Portland, and they want to get bigger in the backcourt, so they're going to offer you CJ McCollum straight up for Devin Booker.
Okay. I actually think that Booker's upside is higher than McCollum's upside.
I would agree with you.
So, and I think paying Devin Booker $3 million over each of the next 2 years is way more attractive than paying McCollum 23.9 and 25.7 million the next 2 years.
The money angle is a really good point.
Yeah. So I don't think McCollum, I think Booker can be better than McCollum. So I would say no to that.
Well, the phone has stopped ringing. It sounds like you had a very productive day of declining trades for Devin Booker, but suddenly all the lights go out in your office and an apparition appears.
Oh,
and it is the ghost of David Stern.
He
is stuck in purgatory. He's unable to ascend to heaven. He wishes penance. He cannot move on in the afterlife until he undoes the wrong he did to the Suns fan base and Amari and Boris and the suspensions in game 5 of the 2007 Western Conference semifinals.
Okay.
So he can offer you some fantastical trades, but only if you offer up Devin Booker as a sacrifice. So you ready for these?
Yeah.
This is a whole nother level, obviously. So the first one is, and David Stern can travel through time to make these trade offers. So don't ask why and don't question it. He is going back to 2001. It is the days after the Jason Kidd domestic violence news breaks, and the Suns are already pursuing trade options. So the trade offer here is 2001 Jason Kidd for Devin Booker, and just Brandon Knight's contract gets swallowed up into the timeline. I don't know where it goes, but it's off your books.
To put him on this year, I would take Jason Kidd. If David Stern wants to go back in time and resurrect the 2001 Jason Kidd and move him to today's NBA.
Let me caveat. Also, you're dealing with today's domestic abuse climate. And this is days after he got that domestic disturbance charge.
Oh, I see what you
So
did
do you want
there.
to deal with that?
Actually, probably not. No, that's a good point. A lot
All right. Well,
back then it was bad, but that was a lot more boys will be boys
true.
type of.
It's a whole other ball game today. So we're
You're
not
right.
even trading Devin Booker for prime Jason Kidd. That's a great hypothetical game right there.
That you
But
did it, Aaron.
Stern has two more offers for you. So let's go over these real quickly. We all know that in 1969, the Suns lost out to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar on a coin flip with the Milwaukee Bucks, right?
Okay, yeah.
David Stern will offer you a do-over if you sacrifice Devin Booker to the timeline. There's no guarantee, but you get a 50-50 shot at Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Oh wow. Do I go back, get to go back and live through that too?
You
Because
can bring
I'm
Kareem to the
living through.
current Suns. You can make Kareem go to the 69 Suns, whatever you'd like, but you have to
No,
sacrifice Devin Booker for a 50-50 shot at him.
you know what, Aaron? I'm sticking with Booker because I'm living now and I'm in the present with Devin Booker. What happened
Wow.
happened.
So we have not got you to agree to one Devin Booker trade. I have one final offer for you, and I think I know where you're going to go with this.
Okay.
If you sacrifice Devin Booker to the timeline, David Stern will travel back in time and unsuspend Amari and Boris Diaw for Game 6 of the 2007 Western Conference semifinals.
You sold me there because that was something I lived through, and I will go back and I will sacrifice Devin Booker for that shot.
There it is. The one trade we agreed to is
I
one shot at the title in 2007. That's the only thing we'll trade Devin Booker for.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
That was so brutal. Hey, if you want to email us at ShazamSunshow@gmail.com and let us know what you would sacrifice Devin Booker for. Or you can tweet us at ShazamSuns. I'm at Hey, it's Matt Baker. Aaron's at A_Zone.
It's where I
Good
tweet
work.
David Stern fan fiction time travel stories.
That's right. Hey, good work on figuring out this locked in, set in stone top five point guards of all time.
Good job, man. We did it.
Yeah, all right. Hey, gang, thanks for listening, and we'll talk with you all next week.
If you think trains will stop if they see a car on the tracks, you're right, they will. About a mile after they hit you. In 2015 alone, 230 people were killed at railroad crossings. Don't become the next fatality. Stop. Trains can't. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.